Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by WordPress. When you create your small business website on WordPress.com, you make it easier for your customers to find you. WordPress guides you through the process from start to finish. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/NSS. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS.
A high-quality wireless mic for your iPhone, how to lock down your Google account, and a live digital cleanse. Live from the Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
Nice job, David, from Crisscross Crust, Texas. What?
Grapevine.
I knew it was something like that.
Frisco, Texas comes later.
David and Janet are visiting. He works, can I say where you work? That's why I got confused, at Crisco.
Oh.
No, Cisco.
Cisco. Cisco.
Right? Not Crisco. Okay.
Cisco, not the food.
Cisco, not Crisco.
Got
right,
it.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the new Screensavers. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Megan Maroney.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
All of us are wearing floral prints today because it's a lovely day in the neighborhood. We have a big show for you coming up. We're going to talk. Oh, this is really cool technology. It's a wireless microphone for your iPhone, eventually for Android as well, called the Mic Me. Just won at the crowded San Francisco Music Tech Summit for best new products. Really a cool microphone for recording audio and video on your iPhone. We'll explain what the challenges are and how they solve them. Actually, we'll also see it in use because Jason Howell was at the Tech Summit, used it to record. We'll see some of the new technologies for musicians. We're going to do a digital cleanse, and for the first time ever, this is Megan's series. We're number 8 now. In the digital cleanse, and for the first time ever live in studio.
Yep.
Because I said to Megan, see these AirPods? Ooh, you don't want to see them. So I need to clean my AirPods, but I'm nervous about doing this. I don't want to put them through the washing machine. Don't do a tight shut of these. That's
It's not that bad. I've seen worse. Seen a lot worse.
Well, you put them in your ear, so, you know, how bad could it get?
Everybody has earwax. It's completely healthy.
Also coming up, we're actually going to show this new Acer mixed reality headset. This is a direct competitor to the Rift and to the Vive. It's got some pros. It's got some cons. We'll talk about that. You'll actually take it for a ride. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to demonstrate because Google announced this week. They had announced it prior to this week, but they finally made the Advanced Protection Program available. This is for people who have Google accounts that need super protection. People like, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, John Podesta, whose Gmail got hacked. This would have prevented it, but it is an elaborate process that requires not one but two dongles and a lot more. We'll talk about the pros and the cons and what it can do. It doesn't cost you anything except for the dongles, but I'll give you a little demo. We'll actually set it up if you want. And then we're going to answer some questions. We've got a call for help and mailbag questions. But let's get started with the big stories of the week. And there are two big security stories this week. Steve Gibson covered them on Tuesday. One that was a hair on fire to me that Steve said, it's not that bad. And another that I didn't really realize is really bad.
So your hair was actually on fire.
So after he put it out, he lit it a fire again, metaphorically speaking. So the first one is, of course, Crack, K-R-A-C-K. And you had a great interview with the security researcher, Maddie Vonhoff, who discovered this. On the Tech News Weekly. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, it was great to talk to him because he's such an unassuming guy. He's been working on this for like 6 years, and he really dispelled some of the rumors that were going around about, you know, whether you had to be close or not, and, you know, whether your router was vulnerable or just the device. He says any device that is connecting via Wi-Fi.
That's how it works. And your router isn't vulnerable unless you have a mesh router, because mesh routers actually connect with each other. So the vulnerability happens when a device, let's say your phone, connects to your router. In the process of the negotiation between your phone and the router, there's a flaw that allows an attacker to get the key and then watch all the traffic between your phone and the router. So all the devices that are connecting to your Wi-Fi, or Starbucks Wi-Fi, or McDonald's Wi-Fi, or the hotel Wi-Fi, all of them need to be patched. And especially important, of course, the Internet of Things devices, mm-hmm. your cameras, your key, you know, your locks, you know, all of those, their thermostats.
Toaster, toothbrush.
Ovens. Do you have a toothbrush that's Internet connected? Does anybody make that yet?
They do have that.
Wow.
Because you got to tell if you've gotten all
you
the way back
the world.
There. And
the world needs to know. So...
Yeah, watch the interview. It was really interesting.
Oh, I'm so glad you got him. The good news is it is an easy patch. It's a software patch. It can be fixed. The funny news, and I wonder what Maddie said about this, iOS and Windows are not vulnerable, not because they're secure, but because they implemented WPA2 encryption poorly. And as a result of their mistake, they're not vulnerable. Well, however, patches are coming out anyway.
He said with Windows, it was non-standard. That's what he didn't say poorly. He said it was non-standard. Mm-hmm. So.
The main thing, though, is you're going to want anything that connects to an access point to be fixed. And if you have a mesh access point, you should expect firmware updates. And I actually asked Eero, our sponsor Eero. They're in a beta now, and as soon as they can verify that everybody can use it safely without problems, they're going to push it out to everybody. That's what you want with an Internet of Things device, one that is actively maintained by its manufacturer and can automatically get firmware updates. It's one of the reasons we really like mesh routers, because almost all of them get automatic firmware updates. But again, it's not really a router flaw. It's a connecting to the router flaw. And if you haven't seen Maddie's interview, did you guys put that? You probably did put it as a twitbit.
Yep, it is a twitbit, and there he is.
Nice young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed that interview.
I also asked him, does he get his ideas? Does he think of it in the shower, that sort of thing?
What did he say?
He said he was just sitting there thinking about it, and he'd been researching Wi-Fi, and it just came to him.
It's fairly tricky. I mean, you have to ask for this nonce more than once. You have to pretend, basically, what? And then the third time, you can crack the nonce, and it cracks the Wi-Fi. And this is a big deal, because we had been saying for years, like 10 years, that all you needed to do on a Wi-Fi router is turn on WPA2, and you'd be safe. And it turns out, not so much. Attacker does have to be able to get on your network. In other words, has to be nearby. And the other good news is most of the stuff you do now on the Internet, searching Google, going to your Gmail or Yahoo Mail or Facebook, all of that's encrypted now. So it's less vulnerable. That secondary encryption will somewhat protect you. If you're worried, use a VPN. So that's the first of the big security flaws. And as Steve Gibson said, that's not horrible. People are going to fix it. You're probably okay most of the time. This other one is a little bit more serious. It's called Roka, and it cracks public key crypto. So that's scary as hell, because we rely on public key cryptography for a lot of secrets. You understand how public key works. You create two keys. You can do it on a computer. You could do it on hardware. You could do it with a YubiKey. You create two keys, one that you give out, your public, so-called public key. And everybody can see that and use it to encrypt stuff to you or to verify your identity by saying, well, here's your public key. Can you sign it and say that that's you? And the way you do that is with your private key, which must never escape your possession. Usually you'll also password protect it. And so you really want to keep that private key private. This Roka flaw is pretty serious, because if you have somebody's public key, you can deduce their private key and get access to all their communications. That's terrible. Now, the good news is it doesn't impact a lot of us. If you use PGP or OpenPGP or OpenGPG to create your public keys, you're okay. Software's okay. The problem stems back to Infineon, which makes a chip that does this and had a poor code implementation, again, software. And as a result, all of the public-private key pairs generated by the Infineon chips are vulnerable. And that includes, for many of us, our TPM chip on our Windows machine. It includes, it's kind of embarrassing, you know, I've been recommending Estonia. If you go to Estonia and get a digital ID that has one of those chips in it, and that has your public key in it, that also is vulnerable. 175,000 of them have in effect been, or 750,000 have been recalled. You can't use it anymore because it was generated with an Infineon chip. So Roka is a big, big issue. And I think this one is not as easy to fix. There is a tester that you can go, if you just Google Roka tester, that you can put your keys in and see if they're vulnerable. Probably worth doing that. But again, if you use OpenGPG or PGP to generate keys, you're okay there. SSH keys, you're okay there. But you probably shouldn't use one of these devices. These YubiKey, the fourth generation, can generate PGP keys on chip using Infineon chip. So they fixed it. Anything that you bought since, I think, July is okay. But if you have a YubiKey that's older than that and you generated keys, you're going to want to regenerate your keys. And not use those old keys.
It says since 2012, but was that when they started? Or were there ones before 2012 that were safe?
That's interesting. My suspicion is that that's when the bug got introduced to the Infineon chip. So anything generated from 20, that's 5 years. Mm-hmm. 5 years of keys that are now dangerous to use, because if you give, you publicize your public key, you put it everywhere, that can be used to deduce your private key. Not good. Let's see.
Balloons! Over Puerto Rico?
We told everybody the FCC had given permission for Google to float its Project Loon balloons over Puerto Rico to give that beleaguered island internet connectivity. They're up now. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's LTE, not. And AT&T is bringing limited connectivity in after Hurricane Maria. See those? They're like weather balloons. They fly at stratospheric height, and you see they've got a solar panel on there and, in effect, a cell tower. And it has been one way of getting Puerto Rico back online. 60% of the population, as well as 90% of the population in the U.S. Virgin Islands, which has also suffered terribly, are now connected via Google Loon's balloons. I think it's a great proof of concept for that. And Amazon's looking for a new headquarters. Do you think Petaluma, maybe we could... 50,000 employees?
I do not really want... Amazon here, but I don't think we could.
Headquarters, anyway. Too. Amazon is doing a public search. Lots of cities all over the country are looking to... I think I saw, and maybe I'm imagining it, I couldn't find it, that the lights in Manhattan were all turned orange as a way of saying, pick us, please. But the funniest thing is, you found this, these videos.
Anthony found some videos.
So this is from Dig. The worst videos from cities begging Amazon... for its new headquarters.
Oh, there it is. Amazon Orange in New York City.
Amazon Orange in New York City. Here's Danbury, Connecticut. This is the mayor of Danbury. Here you go.
I'm a proud Amazon customer. So, Alexa, where is the best place for Amazon to locate its second world headquarters?
Danbury, Connecticut.
I told you so.
That's called putting as little energy into the bid. Right. As possible. I think they did it on the mayor's iPhone. Some of them have done a lot more. There's one that's so long we can't show it that's actually kind of funny. This is Little Rock, Arkansas.
Or Frisco.
You want to show Frisco first? Okay, first I thought, hey, it can't be really Frisco because San Franciscans don't call it Frisco. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's Frisco, Texas.
Great place to raise
an athlete. Is that the home
of
the Cowboys? Amazon. Is that where the Cowboys are?
You're growing your business.
But what's in the box?
Don't ask what's in the box.
What's in the box?
HQ2.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a fire department.
Yeah. People.
They got people.
They have a box.
But don't go in. What's in that box? Frisco is a city. Oh, God. Oh, that scared me. Oh,
I still don't know if there was a head in that box or not.
It came right at me. I was at a haunted house last night.
Were there heads in boxes there?
Yes, all sorts of things. They're very creative, these haunted houses. They're also very expensive. It was $25.
Per scream?
Yes, per scream. No, it was expensive. Family of four, $100 to go in this haunted house. But it was definitely scary. It was people jumping out at you, big butcher knives. And I thought, if I were a murderer, I would set up a haunted house.
Yeah.
And nobody would run from you. You could just chase them with a knife. It'd be easy. I'm going to write a murder mystery. The Case of the Haunted House. Anyway.
You could just show people your AirPods with the wax all over them.
Yeah.
$25 to look at that.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't know yet. I have a lot of choices, and it's stressful, but
I am going to do a piggyback costume.
Oh, I saw those, earlier. Yeah. Maybe I should do that, too, since we're going to be doing iOS Today on Halloween. I did see that. There was one riding a unicorn.
Yeah, you can ride all kinds of things, these morph costumes. They've got German beer wench, skeleton. So the idea is you
can ride a German beer wench?
Yeah, but this is the one I want to do. They don't call him Mario for some reason. They call him Red Plumber. But you ride on Mario's back. Those are your legs, not on Mario. That's stuffed, right? You put them on like a pair of pants.
I definitely think we should do this on iOS Today.
Dick DiBartolo told me about this. Okay. $45.
Oh, okay.
They have a presidential one. No?
No.
Okay.
Don't show that one.
And that's the second. We're going to talk to some amazing innovators from Austria who've created a microphone solution for people who want to make videos on their iPhone that is brilliant and really interesting technology. We'll do that in just a second. But first, let's talk a little bit about WordPress. That's my home on the internet. WordPress powers 28% of the internet. So it's not just mine.
My
it's
home
everybody's.
Too. Your home too. My home too. Yeah, MeganMaroney.com.
See?
WordPress.
LeoLaporte.com. Mm-hmm. See, but it's not, but it's, the thing that's cool about this, for years I had my own server running WordPress software. There's your website. Mm-hmm. I bet you're doing what I did, because this was a revolution for me. You use WordPress.com. Mm-hmm. See, that's so easy, because they host it. It's cost me less than buying a server. And, man, I don't have to spend any time doing security patches or updates. They do it all, even for plugins. And it's very affordable, very easy to use. If you're a business and you don't have a website, you're kind of missing the boat. A lot of businesses say, I have a Facebook page. That's no good. You should have a Facebook page. You should have a Twitter account. But you need them to point back to your site where you own it. It's all yours. And that's at WordPress. I know you probably haven't done it just because you figure it's too technical. It's not hard at all. In fact, WordPress takes care of all the difficult stuff. Choose from hundreds of beautiful designs. Boost your visibility with built-in search engine optimization. I'm sure you did this too, but you've set it up so that people who read your posts can then share it to Facebook or Twitter. So they boost your presence. There's also a great community at WordPress.com. You can have a follow button on your site, and then you get even more traffic from WordPress itself. And the experts at WordPress are eager to help you to get the most from your site. So if you ever have any questions, they're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and 9 to 5 on weekends. Plans start at just $4 a month. $4 a month. See why 28% of all websites run on WordPress. Create your WordPress.com site. You're going to love it. And if you go right now to WordPress.com/NSS, you could take that price and cut 15% off when you create your new website. WordPress.com/NSS. 15% off your brand new website. Look at this microphone. This is so cool. This is a new microphone. Actually, it just won an award at the San Francisco Music Tech Summit. This is called Mic Me. And joining us right now, the CEO and founder of Mic Me, Philip Sonnleitner. Hi, Philip.
Thanks for inviting me.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, Leo.
You used to work at AKG?
Kind of, yeah.
Vienna.
Yeah, Vienna. I'm from Austria, Vienna. 8 years.
I love AKG. I've been wearing AKG headphones forever. AKG mics are great. So is that your trade, a microphone engineer?
I'm an audio engineer. I started at Technical University in Graz, so in Austria.
Yeah.
And then directly started at AKG for 8 years. So first, 3 years software engineering, but later product management. So,
what made you want to create a microphone for the iPhone?
So I am a musician on my own. And I was basically tired to set up the microphone like this one, with the stand, with the cable in the computer, in the sound card, set up all the drivers, do all this crazy stuff. And then basically I forgot what I actually wanted to record. You know, in the creative process, you basically want one button audio recording. And it is what it is. Like there's a big button on it. You press it like this one.
This is it. This is the mic me.
This is the mic me.
Okay. So first of all, it's wireless.
So there's no wires, there's no setup time, you turn it on, you take it in your hand, you just push, if you have push the button, and now it starts recording. You don't need any other device.
This actually has internal recording.
16 gigabyte storage space.
It's hours of recording.
It's 30 hours of raw audio recording. If you are ready, you press it again, or if you're finished, and then it's saved internally. And then you can listen back through the headphone jack.
Or you can connect it to the computer, pull the audio off.
Right, through the USB connector.
But, see, that's great. So it's like a standalone recorder. But I think the thing that's most interesting for me, well, actually, there's two things. First, let's talk about the hardware itself.
Right.
Because quality is important. You're using condenser mics, and not inexpensive condenser mics. I'm wearing a condenser mic, and this is what I thought a condenser mic was, this lavalier mic. It's a little tiny, tiny capsule.
Which is okay for lavalier
TV. For TV, it's okay. But not for music.
You said like music, or you said that you're a radio guy, right?
If not for nobody in radio uses this. We might use a big Neumann mic, right?
Right, which has like something like this.
So this is a condenser mic too. I didn't realize you'd get such a.
This
big
is a true condenser phantom powered capsule, as it's called. So the nice thing about it, it's super big and heavy and expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Neumanns are what, $5,000 for a Neumann?
$2,000 to $5,000. But so, the cool thing is, if you get close to it, you get this sexy voice.
Yes, I know. But what's interesting to me is this requires power.
Right. So
You can't just run. You need to have power for this.
Right. That's why you have like cables like this, like XLR cables, which powers through the mixer, and it is a painful process. You have to set it up right. You have to set the gain.
Let me show you this.
It's not available easily. So this is an open one.
This is what's in the mic, me.
So that's the battery, right?
So there's a big battery.
Yeah.
This is the battery, right, and the capsule. So we try to make everything in one package, so that basically it's easy to use.
There's also a Bluetooth chip in here, right?
That's the second thing. So it's super high quality. It's as good as a $1,000 or $2,000 microphone and self-contained.
Yeah, and then you send it over Bluetooth, which is crap.
That's true.
Right?
That's what I heard from a lot of engineers. But there's a trick on it. So as it saves the audio internally, so it's all your audio you record is always safe on the mic me. But over Bluetooth, we have our own protocol. Because Bluetooth, as you know, is not always super safe. So it's losing packets if you use standard Bluetooth profiles.
You'll drop packets, and then you'll get a...
Like your Bluetooth headset, your Bluetooth speaker.
It's fine on the phone because it's 8, 7-bit sound. It's crappy sound. It doesn't matter.
That's okay. But if you like record and send it out to 500,000 viewers, if the most important part is missed, that's not good.
So you've done something really clever here.
Right. We host it or save it locally, send it, then chunk it or chop it down in small pieces, send it over to the phone via our own protocol, and received by our iPhone app. So there's a Mic Me app coming along with it.
So there's if a packet is out
lost.
Of order, you reorder it.
Send it again.
You send it again. You're recording and sending in AAC 96 kilobit, you said.
Right, right.
So very high quality.
Right, high quality. And if you want to go even further and have the raw waves files, you always can save it locally. So you can later on plug it into your computer and get the
44116.
24-bit. Up to 96 kilohertz.
So
it can go even further than that.
So you can do high-res recording with this as well.
Yes,
really, really living up to the quality of the microphone. That's really neat.
We can make some tests, and we also brought some videos to show like what it can do, how far it can go.
And by the way, right up front, $500.
$500, yes. Yeah.
You had a Kickstarter?
We had an Indiegogo campaign. We sold 2,000 pieces, shipped it in 100-plus countries already.
Oh, so you are shipping?
Yeah, we're shipping. They're available already on the market.
Nice.
How long does the battery last? Could I take this out all day?
Like three and a half hours.
3.5 hours, but I could charge it.
You can charge through the computer, any power block or whatever.
Oh, that's what the micro USB is.
Yeah, yes. So if I were going to go to a conference or something and interview a bunch of people, I could take it all day and maybe charge it in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like a Zoom in the sense that it could be just a standalone recorder that you carry around and record.
With a little bit better quality.
With better quality, of course. But the thing that I'm most interested in and what we're going to use it for is video recording. So let's first do an audio test, and then I want to try some video. So you want to do some audio?
So you will see our app. So this is the Mic Me app.
I have to use your app to do this?
For now.
Yeah.
For now. This is just, we just get started.
That's fine. I don't mind.
It's already linked with the iPhone, with my microphone. So you see on top of the app, there's a 63% battery power icon. So if I hit record on the app, it's remotely starting recording. You see the waveform in here, and if I talk into it, hey, this is Philip from Mic Me. So this means that the audio is already transmitted to the iPhone. So if I hit stop.
By the way, when you did that, it peaked. This thing blinks to let you know that you're overdriving.
Right, right, right.
So that's actually very handy. It doesn't have meters, but you'll at least know that you're too loud.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So you hit stop. We always let you take photos so that you remember.
Where was I?
In Leo's studio, so beautiful pictures, you see. And then you play back the file.
Recording. You see the waveform in here, and if I talk into it,
so the cool thing is you have a mix in it, so you can adjust the volume. So let's say this is too silent.
The audio is ordered to the iPhone. So if I hit stop, by the
way, change the volume, change the panorama, left, right.
This thing blinks to let you know that you're overdrive.
So I'm off mic, so that's going to be a little bit more echoey. But you sound great. Nice resonance, nice bass.
Right.
One of the things condenser mics are really good at is the high end. You get a very crisp, tight high end. It sounds good.
Right. This is for audio. And then if you play again, we also have some small effects.
Recording.
So let's say
you want to
have
a talk into it.
Hey, this filter.
I want the Elvis effect.
Or have a filter like a more mellow sound or more, you know, vibrant sound.
When you did that at peak?
So to get you going fast. So this is basically what it can do. Then you have, like, because you take pictures along, you have like a sound gallery where you see all your recordings.
Oh, so they're associated, the picture's associated with the sound clip. That's nice.
So that's the first part. That's all you record. That's
how we started. For Megan, for going to a conference and doing audio interviews. Mm-hmm.
But actually, we sent out a survey and talked to hundreds or thousands of people. And basically, there was one feedback everyone had, like, please make it work with video, because smartphone videos have one big problem, which is audio. Mm-hmm. So if you take a video with your iPhone, and the place where you record video and the place where you record audio are completely different. With video, it's a visual thing, so you're a little bit further away. With audio, you want to have it close, like our lovely microphones or handheld microphones. So, and that's missed with the iPhone. There's no fully integrated solution for iPhones.
It's not a great microphone, and it's too far away, so you're just going to get a lot of noise.
Sure.
Can we do a video recording?
Yeah, so we have...
Actually...
I have my co-founder with me, Thomas, who's standing there.
He's recording on an iPhone 8 with an Osmo, which is
Osmo,
nice.
Yeah, it's an Osmo cable. So we're using this microphone now. So we're going to see Thomas hits the record button on his iPhone app. So it's recording now. Hey, this is Philip from MicMe. And Thomas can freely move around, but you still would get the consistent audio here.
So if you wanted to do I should be on it, right? If you wanted to do a stand-up, and you want the camera to get farther away, you stay here, and this microphone is going to record. If you were doing it on the iPhone microphone, I'd be off mic by now.
Right.
I'd be
right.
distant.
Or even an iPhone lightning cable microphone.
You couldn't get very far if it's wired.
So now I hit the stop button. It's syncing, and now let's see how
So that's interesting. So it's not getting the audio from a Bluetooth feed.
No.
You're going to send the audio file...
In chunks. It's our own pattern and profile.
And sync. How does it sync up? There's no time code, is there?
I mean, there is some smart indexing and time codes going on. Because the problem with Bluetooth is there's a big latency.
Yeah.
The chunks sometimes
come in
wrong.
So you get bad lip sync.
Yeah. Right, you get bad lip sync. And also one of the biggest challenges were that if you hit the record button, iOS is in the background recording video, and that can take, so from the time when you hit the record button until it really starts recording takes a while. Sometimes it's only 100 milliseconds, sometimes it's up to a second because of the operating system is doing things.
So the lip sync could be as much as a second off.
It's something completely weird.
How hard was this to solve?
I estimated like 3 to 6 months. It took 9 months.
9 months? And did you immediately think of recording locally and sending chunks out, or that
Yes, because there's no other way to guarantee that all chunks are received or the entire audio file, because there's nothing bad. Imagine like you doing a recording, like a live stream or like on-site recording, and then you say something and there's a lot of dropouts.
It's one of the biggest problems we have is lip sync, and we don't have dropout problems because we're using everything wired.
Okay.
But lip sync is a real challenge because the human brain, even a few hundred milliseconds or even
it
less,
gets confused, right?
It says that's not right. There's something wrong. Mm-hmm.
And the vision for MicMe is not just being a microphone company; it's about how you record, how you produce on the phone, and even distribute. So how can you record a nice high quality video and distribute it in 5 minutes?
That's the amazing thing about the iPhone is you have this great video recording. You can do really high quality.
You have
video.
The camera. So one of us looking at this, you have the camera, but
let's
the audio.
Audio.
So let's see how this looks.
So did you already trade phones?
Yes,
we traded phones. So this is the phone and I understand now why you have to use a custom app to record it, because it has to do the matching up. It has to understand that you're going to get the audio separately in these packets, and it has to know how to match
it up. Software's running on both sides, so we have to control both sides. Now let's see how it looks on the app. So this thing, the track in the middle is the audio track, so let's see how it sounds.
So it's recording now. Hey, this is Philip from MicMe. And Thomas can freely move away.
If we go in the video.
So it's recording now. Hey, this is Philip from MicMe. And Thomas can freely move away, move around, but you still
this
get
is great.
So you see, if Thomas is moving away,
you're still on mic. If you wanted to do a stand-up,
And now you hear a beautiful voice. You
know, isn't that amazing?
So that's some people give for
a I want given. This.
Yes, but now,
it's
now,
not
listen.
Cheap, but this is remarkable. I mean, there's no other way to do this effectively that I know of.
Right, but if you listen then back how the iPhone, because we also record the iPhone.
Oh, you have, let's hear what the iPhone sounds like.
Let's see how the iPhone sounds.
You should do that first. You always do the before first.
Okay.
So you can barely hear.
And how many videos do you see on YouTube that sound just like this?
It's like I can bump it up, but then you would hear a lot of noise.
A lot of room tone. Yeah.
So the further you get away, the more, you know.
Oh, look how far away. Yeah.
So there's a lot of room in there. It's just not good sound. And if you switch back, you see like people are really amazed and, you know.
It's so much better.
Yeah. So like.
I think for creators.
Hey, this is Philip from MikeMe. And Thomas can freely.
Sounds so good.
Yeah.
Well, imagine you're playing the guitar, singing a song. You can have this mic. You can. It has a quarter 20 hole.
Actually, we have a really nice video. I don't know if Anthony has that, but we could play it back. Like, this was recorded in L.A. on top of a mountain. There's no post-production involved.
Where's the musician?
Wait a second.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So this was recorded at
directly.
Directly.
No editing.
No editing. The audio was recorded with one microphone. And the video audio sync was done with, so it's also iPhone 7 Plus on a DJI Osmo gimbal. I took the video and the sync was done automatically.
This is amazing.
Yeah. So the musicians on their own didn't believe that it was not recorded in the studios. Stuck in ways
I can't explain. They're on a hillside. Yeah, if you're if you're listening and not watching, I mean, they're literally on a hillside with one mic in between them, two guitars, a singer. It does. It sounds like a studio. This is very
This
powerful.
Is funny because, you know, there's no walls, there's no reflection,
yeah,
so it sounds very much like a studio.
Yeah.
So this is the new type of content we're looking for. So
San Francisco Music Tech Summit Startup Competition winner. Now I understand why.
We also won a couple of design awards in Europe. So
yeah, it's
beautiful. Design award.
Yeah. So I was mentioning it has a quarter 20, so you could put this. We actually have this. We took this off of a Zoom. And you just screw it. Oh, yours is sealed up, but you just screw it into the quarter 20 jack. So, or you could put it on a GorillaPod or any kind of tripod,
or on a hot shoe on a DSLR camera. A lot of people also want to use it like a DSLR camera.
Dag nabbit, you're right.
Yes,
but you don't. But I don't have the software running on my camera.
Sure, but you still can record. So you just it would record locally. So you would,
and then you do the sync later in.
Or you use it like. Yours with the mini check directly in your.
Oh yeah,
camera.
I can plug it into the camera. I'll take two: one for my camera, and one for our field shoots. Don't you think it'd be great for field shoots?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I like the way it fits in your hand, and I think for like creators who are just getting their start, it's totally worth it because sound is so important. And I mean, people will stop listening to your stuff if it doesn't sound good.
Yep.
Obviously, musicians know that, but you know, people that are doing interviews and stuff.
That's Megan. How we started? We started for musicians. This was the target group we had in mind, but then we found out in Indiegogo that there's way more journalists, video makers are a big group, podcasters.
And thanks to podcasting, I think people are realizing, at first they didn't understand, in fact television didn't for a long time understand that how good audio really enhances. In fact, sometimes when you listen to a podcast of a television show, I watched Meet the Press the other day, it sounded terrible because they're TV people who say, well, who's listening? We're listening. Having good audio is really important.
I always make the point, speech is the number one communication channel on the earth. It's not text, it's still speech.
Audio supports. Audio is more important than video. Right. Is somebody talking to us? For some reason, my audio book turned on over there. It must have decided it wanted to be on. This is exciting. Philip Sonnleitner is the CEO and founder of MikeMe. M-I-K-M-E. Is there a website?
Right, MikeMe.com.
MikeMe.com. And are you're in production now? You can buy it?
You can buy it. So in Europe, you can buy the Thomann, which is the biggest audio dealer in Europe, and B&H in the U.S.
Oh, B&H is great. So, all right, good. All right, so you can buy it direct from B&H.
Yes. And
why do you have Mark Zuckerberg on your shirt? Just out of curiosity.
It's not. I don't think it's Mark Zuckerberg.
That's you. Yeah.
It's an avatar. It's an avatar.
It's just a generic avatar. It's so either Mark Zuckerberg or Duke Nukem. I'm not sure which.
It looks like it's just an iPhone, iPad.
Who
app.
Did the design?
No Android
this?
App.
No, Android.
A friend of mine from Austria, and he won like 40 international design awards.
It's really pretty. And I'm sorry, I'm making that.
Sorry, that's okay. You're in love. I don't want to interrupt you.
I am in love.
Just iPhone for now.
Just
or
iPhone
iPad.
For now. But
Android's
watch out.
Coming.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay. Because Android people need mics too.
They do.
Everyone with smartphones.
Android people need iPhones.
We all need
iPhones.
Do you want to do the test? They set up this. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but they set up. So this is our
$325 Heil PR40, which is what we use. But it's a dynamic microphone. So it's great on the bass, but it doesn't have a lot of really good highs. It's not as crisp as a condenser mic. But what we like about it is the off-axis rejection. So if you any noise, I don't need a studio because I can hardly hear you because you're off mic, right? Now let's switch over to the mic from the Mic Me, and it's a little bit more full sound because it's got higher. Let me just get a little bit closer here. It's got a little bit higher end because it's a condenser mic, and it's a big coil, which is really nice. I think this sounds great. I do. Yeah, very nice. Thank you so much.
Great to meet you, Philip.
Thanks a lot for
MIKME.com. So while we were there meeting you, Jason Howell borrowed a Mic Me, right? He recorded this with the Mic Me.
Yes.
So this is Jason Howell's visit to the San Francisco Music Tech Summit, a field test, if you will, of the Mic Me watch.
I'm here in San Francisco, a little bit of smoke in the air, but that doesn't matter because we're in Japantown. We're about to head inside to check out SF's Music Tech Summit. I'm standing with Elmo Lovano with Jamcard, which is a really cool social network for musicians. What is the need as a musician with this idea?
You know, essentially as a drummer and a music director, you know, I'm always A, on the look for players, and B, always looking to be seen at the same time. And then I just saw that. I was like, there's no real way to represent yourselves because we don't use LinkedIn. We don't have like an IMDb pro for the music industry.
Right.
So I really wanted to just make a cleaner, simpler area for you to represent yourself. So build like your digital business card for you as the person, the music professional, and then have a really detailed search so you could go in there at any time and be like, I'm looking for a drummer that's a producer that plays hip-hop, that uses Ableton and SPDSs or whatever, and then have a list pop up where you can easily vet people, see, watch them play in the app, see who's voted them in the community, so it's all upvoted in the community. Mm-hmm. Messenger's right in the app super fast, so this makes it really easy to network, find new people, find new friends, find people to work with. And now we're getting into content. We have 5 original web series. Our show, How I Got the Gig, we just partnered with the Grammys. So you can go to either GrammyPro.com and watch it, or you can go to our website or Jamcard's YouTube, Facebook.
Elmo Lovano with Jamcard. Thank you so much for talking to
me. Thank you, man.
I'm here with Julia Zhang from The One Music Group, who has a really cool piece of technology that teaches people how to play piano and become experts in like no time at all.
Yeah, our goal is to let anyone start playing piano in 3 minutes. So
3 minutes.
Yeah, you probably could be the next one.
I hope so. So tell us a little bit about it.
So Piano Highlight is a light bar that you can place on any standard keyboard or piano as long as it has 88 keys. So it works with any traditional piano or digital piano. And it comes with a free app that has over 3,000 free songs and sheet music, and also a bunch of, for example, like Hoffman online educational tutorials and video tutorials and crash courses. It shows you note by note via its LED, so it's like a follow me mode. You just simply follow the lights, and the app will show you like a screen similar to GarageBand. So it feels like you're playing a piano game instead of really practicing piano.
That's really cool. And so it's Indiegogo. How much can people get this for right now?
Our retail price is $269, and our Indiegogo deal price is $179.
Right on. Julia Zhang with The One Music Group. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Could I learn to play the piano, you think?
Yes. Anyone can. Do you not know how to play the piano?
No, don't you?
I know a little bit how to.
Mary
Alex
had a
is
little
a great
lamb.
Pianist.
Are you? I know he's a composer and a musician.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Jason. That entire segment, I don't know why we spent so much money on microphones and cameras, was recorded on an iPhone 7, 7 Plus, I guess, with the Mic Me. Pretty neat.
It is.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and light to carry, not heavy.
So why do we all have all this dusty crap here?
Well, That's a really good question.
This is a mess. This place needs to be cleaned up.
You probably wondering why I have these StrideX pads as well. I'll get to all of that. As you know, we've been doing the TWiT Digital Cleanse. We're on week 8. We've gotten rid of our spam. We've gotten rid of our notifications. We've
cleaned up our passwords.
We've done so much. And now...
Let's do some actual cleaning.
Actual cleaning of our devices. So my keyboard, I realized, is pretty disgusting. I post... You know, one way you can tell if there's really gross stuff is to use your iPhone camera, the 10X Zoom, and take a really close-up
picture. Really? It picks up all the...
Yeah, all the goo.
Now, you have an older MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. One thing I should warn people, if you have one of the new MacBook Pros or MacBooks with the new butterfly switches, this does not apply to you. You're screwed. Seriously, did you read that article in the
because there's not much travel in the keyboard. So this
and
is,
you
yeah,
can't
this is
just pry them off.
So yeah.
So Apple has to, if you, this writer for The Outline got a piece of dust under his space bar. Space bar stopped working, brought it to the genius. He said, yeah, you're going to have to buy a new $400 keyboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. However, if you have an older Mac, this will work.
So mine's 2015. So this is air duster. Like
see, that's
air,
why
air.
I never bought you a new Mac.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to push some air into it. Is this what you do with the air duster? And then and then we can just get that goo out there. And this is physics. It's getting very cold.
This actually will work with the new butterfly keys, but there's so little travel that there's not much you can get in on.
Get
it.
On the, yeah. So
and
just
on these keyboards, you can pry them off.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that without first taking a picture because
you
put the Q where the U is, and nothing's going to come out.
So if you have a keyboard like this, like a detachable keyboard, we just suggest putting it in the dishwasher.
We do?
Yeah. You could just take the wires out, stick it in the dishwasher.
Okay, couple of tips. Don't put it in with the old spaghetti pots and dishes, okay?
No, just by itself.
Nothing else in there. Use dishwashing soap.
No, you just stick it in there. Just hot water. It's all you
need. And dry it thoroughly before you try to use it. You don't. If there's any water left, you're in trouble. Also, should caution you about 30% of the time, this busts the keyboard.
Yeah, but keyboards they're not that
they're
expensive,
cheap.
Right?
So this is like a last resort. I wouldn't do this regularly, but if your keyboard's really disgusting, and that one is, I've done this many times, and it works fine.
I would also suggest, if you're going to go in the keyboard, use a toothpick. I have some green toothpicks over there on the ground. They just, you didn't see them because...
I had to borrow them.
Yeah. So thank you.
I made beef jerky the other day, and really...
So you don't use metal. Don't use like a fork or anything.
Wood. But
yeah, you can just wood, like get in there. Don't use a vacuum cleaner either because that creates static.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in general, I know people do this. A vacuum cleaner in a PC tower case, that kind of thing, that can actually really fry your stuff.
Yeah, so don't do that. And don't use a brush. Brushes cause static as well. So don't
also,
use
a tip with the canned air.
Ooh,
like
look at that. That's
yeah,
gross.
It's disgusting.
That's just dead skin.
Why does this remind me of dental work? I don't
know.
So the canned air, pulse it. Don't press it for a long time because it will get very, very cold and condense moisture in there. And you don't. Well, no, you just don't want to get the moisture is your enemy.
The toothpick. I mean, I could spend all day with a toothpick. That is disgusting.
Okay, let's stop now. I'm getting nauseous.
You could also use. Do you suggest an alcohol? Some people are like, alcohol's not.
What I actually do use often is Clorox wipes, and I use this on my keyboard. You don't want anything so juicy that liquid's going to get in. But for one thing, bacteria is a real problem on these keyboards and the touchpads.
Yeah.
So I will every month or two. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Every month or two. There's one. Oh! There's Clorox everywhere. So don't do that. Okay, this one's maybe a little damp for your purposes. Why are we keeping one Clorox wipe in a Okay, there you go. That's so you don't want it too wet, but it's got to be a little bit moist, obviously.
And so don't use these on your screens or anything. That's
no,
too rough.
No, that will strip the screen.
But the keyboard is fine.
And I always feel like it's just a little, it cleans it very nicely. See how it gets all the schmutz off?
Yeah.
And more importantly, perhaps, it's getting rid of all the bacteria,
toxins.
The toxins.
Yeah, yeah. That's where we're cleansing. Does that feel good?
You know what I do periodically is I'll just go through the house with a couple of Clorox wipes, do the phone, do your, anything that you touch a lot, keyboards and mice. If they're not super wet, they're just damp, it's going to still have the cleaning effect, but not hurt right. the keyboard. See how much nicer that looks
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it looks a lot.
Just don't look under
nice.
The keys.
Yeah, don't look under the keys. All right, and the other thing that Patrick Delahanty recommended Stridex pads. and so I asked...
This is for acne.
Yeah, for acne, these okay. Stridex pads. And I asked Colleen to get me some. She got me some with aloe.
Yes, because it's important to condition after you
I would say just strip. The plain Stridex, not the aloe.
Yeah, you probably don't want anything left behind.
Yeah, so
But I'm that's gonna... the same idea. And alcohol is just as antibacterial as anything in those.
But this is alcohol-free so that it's less abrasive. That's, I think, why.
Well, you won't have any keyboard acne anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I might just use them on my face.
That's an interesting thought. Keyboard. If you've got teenagers and you got extra Stridex laying around, I'm not sure I'd run out and buy it. But
the
what
Q-tip
else?
Is really good. I mean, the toothpick is also good for the iPhone. Like, you get, like, I don't get this because when you stick
crevices.
Your phone in your pocket and you get stuff, look at all that schmutz.
That's why I buy a new phone every month. Port. Because I really don't want that schmutz.
Do you want to pick that out with the...
Yeah. In fact, here's a little tip. We were having trouble with my daughter's iPhone. It wouldn't charge. Oh, I guess it was Henry's, actually. It wouldn't charge. So he brought it into the Genius. The Genius did this. Yeah, I think there's a little... And there was pocket lint.
Uh-huh.
He scraped out the pocket lint.
Yeah.
And a wood toothpick is not going to do any harm to the contacts
right.
in there. You could use canned air on this if you were gentle.
A wood toothpick. Yeah, if you use a Q-tip, that sheds. So don't use that because that'll get...
No cotton. There. You don't want to get more lint. The idea is to get the lint out.
Yeah.
And that actually is if you have... trouble with charging, sometimes that lint is just blocking the connectors there. Yeah.
And so go ahead and take the case off. This is Jerry's old phone, and he wanted me to make sure that everyone knew to take the case off every once in a while.
Ah!
And the schmutz
okay.
off there.
And where am I going to toothpick here?
No, you're just going to... then you need your microfiber cloth.
Microfiber cloth.
Yeah.
And this is one with a glass screen where I wouldn't... I've used the Clorox wipes on it. It's not like a screen on your laptop. It's not. It's not coated.
Oh.
This is a good idea.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here, let me just show you a little something.
Okay.
Because I have in my pocket, I carry this around at all times.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. No, it's not for that. Don't do that. It's a little eyeglass cleaner.
Oh, smart.
Okay. Lens cleaner. And you just go, whoa. It also makes an excellent perfume. You don't want to get really wet. But that makes a big difference. And again, this is a eyeglass cleaning cloth, which is like the microfiber cloth. Look how much nicer that looks. That is like it just came from the factory.
That's nice.
And in fact, don't forget to clean the camera lens because that gets all sorts of schmutz on it. And then throw this away. No, you could run this through the dishwasher. That is disgusting, Jerry. I don't think this is going to help.
You should be careful what you say because we have not looked at your AirPods yet.
So before you start
judging,
good point.
Okay, before we
Jerry,
get to
I think
AirPods,
it's time for a new case. This one's pretty battered.
I got a new phone.
He has a new, totally new phone. That's his, one
this
with
the
headphone
the
jack.
Phone. Oh,
that old fashioned phone with the headphone jack.
What is that for?
All right, so now we have Colleen's Xbox 360 that needs a little bit of love.
Okay, do not put liquid anywhere near this thing, but look how dusty that is. So that's an easy one, right? Just a little lemon pledge.
No, lemon pledge, no aerosols either. You can't really see. Just a cloth.
Yeah, because it'll get in the vents.
A cloth was all you needed there. But, you want it to work on the vents, too.
But you know what? If you look at these vents, they've been sucking dusty air in to the inside of that. You can even see if you look through it. So at some point, it might be a good idea to take the lid off and very carefully.
Yeah, you can get inside there.
Maybe with some compressed air and clean it out. That's like any PC, right?
Right. And Brian Burnett did a whole know-how about this. He took apart his...
Yeah. It's not hard to do.
Yeah, you just... Yeah.
Especially if you have one of those great iFixit
tools. iFixit is a...
The screws are weird and all of that stuff.
So do you think I'm going to harm it by putting the compressed air into this?
I have mixed feelings about compressed air. Just pulse. Not long. No, those. Nope. Nope. Whoa. Too long. Just pulse. Oh man!
You can't really see.
Colleen has some dogs, as we well know.
Yeah.
And, here. My first book with Gina Smith was going to be called "How Do I Get the Dog Hair Out of the Disk Drive?" Yeah. Short pulses. Pulse.
Oh, there. Did you see that?
Was it Dust Bunny?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can also put stuff. Spray stuff, this stuff on there, the foam cleansing.
That's going to be external only, though.
But, right. Spray it on here, never on directly on, too.
This stuff, somebody dropped off two cases of this stuff.
At the cottage.
So that was 7 years ago.
and we've never been able to get any more. And this is this the last bottle? Is this the last bottle of this? I think it is.
No,
we're down.
Three,
there's three or four left. So whoever you are, if you could bring us some more, that would be great.
I think I said that iFixit was one of our sponsors. Didn't I say that already? They are.
I tried to,
but Leo shut you up.
Wait, do you want to do your Xbox controller?
Oh,
that
see,
is
anything
where
the human hand touches, that's really going to be grody. And again, this one I would use Clorox wipes.
Yeah, the wipe.
And not too wet, but that makes a huge difference, especially on the buttons and the things that you touch a lot. You really do want to clear those up. And what's nice is there's a visible improvement.
Mm-hmm. You really feel like you've cleansed.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm not a germaphobe. In fact, in some respects, I think germs are good for you. But it's just, you know, when you start seeing the palm film on there, that's when you really want to kind of clean it up.
PC Guy 8088 also points out, also clean the human hands. Yes.
Regularly. Mm-hmm. And by the way, no, not Purell, wash them.
Okay, now.
Then you can Purell if you want.
Let's get to the.
You're clean too.
The
now.
AirPods.
This one is. I don't know what to do. These have never been cleaned, and I just don't know what to do.
I had to clean mine because they stopped working. Like there was so much earwax in there that.
Now they have a little screen, so you know the problem is this is the part you put in the ear, and you see there's a little screen there, so you don't want to go past that screen.
Yours is not that bad.
No, these are brand new. That's why.
Okay.
You should have seen my old ones.
Oh, you already got new ones? That they haven't even been
I've already
out of
lost
here.
A pair.
What about find my AirPods?
Yeah, you know what it said? We'll let you know where your AirPods are just as soon as you get connected to them.
Okay. Well, I would start with... Well, I was going to use this cloth, but it's gross. So I would start with an alcohol swab.
No. Okay. Thank you very much.
You don't want to?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Now, these we stole from our... first aid
kit. Yeah, you do that.
So, but these, you know, this actually probably is a very good idea. And you don't want to go past that screen, and you don't want to get moisture inside there. But you can, with your fingernails, just kind of scrub it off.
And then very carefully, if you didn't get, I would maybe use a toothpick.
Gently.
Gently, just kind of, especially, yeah, like in the, inside the speaker. In there. Yeah. Scrape that.
Don't make me laugh. It's hard to do this if I'm jiggling.
I know. That's why I have you doing it. And like I said, you can also... Do you want to use my camera to see if... Should we take a picture of that?
I don't understand that. You have a close-up in your camera?
Yeah, the 10X zoom on the... Let's see.
Okay. You have to get farther away? Oh, my God. Oh, my
God. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yours isn't that bad,
No, it's like I said, I've only worn it.
Yeah. I mean, mine were gross.
Yeah, but you can imagine the earwax is going to collect in there. So you definitely want to clean
it. So what has worked best for me, literally I'm getting the earwax out, saved my AirPods, is FunTech.
Don't forget, by the way, that this part gets dirty as well.
Yes, well, that's where the Q-tips come in. That's where you can use Q-tips.
Yeah. The case itself, the charging case.
Put alcohol on some Q-tips and you want to clean that in there.
Yeah, because these aren't very old and they're already, it's a little schmutzy inside.
Here, wish
you
that
put
around
a little
there.
Alcohol in.
Yeah. Go all the way down in there. Get it all the way in there. Get in there.
Ooh. Wow.
And then.
Actually, it's amazing. Look at that.
Yeah.
It is.
There.
Oh, they are dirty already. Wow. This is not very old.
Yeah. Then all do you right. want to see
Thank
the fun
you.
Tack? Do you want to try the fun tack?
Is it like a tic tac?
No, fun tack. Like the sticky stuff.
Oh.
So it will stick. It will adhere to the
wet. It's mounting putty. It's not designed.
No.
To clean, but it does in fact have that effect.
It'll get that because you have to get this one too.
Yeah.
This, and then you just stick it in there.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then it'll
right
pulls
out.
Up the earwax, right? Pulls it right out.
Oh, that's clever. Look at that.
And that's yeah, nice. You can
have very some. Good.
So that fun tech. That's yeah. You're not this. These were not as bad as
no.
Ew.
That's it looks like some of my brain is.
Yeah,
on there.
And I don't know some of mine. Yeah, mine are pretty clean too. So.
The problem is they're white, and so any dirt at all, any dust, any earwax is going to really stand out. So it's nice.
Well,
to
and enough earwax, you won't be able to hear them.
So Q-tips, careful. Only do it where the shedding isn't a problem, like the inside of the charging case for your AirPods. Not the AirPods themselves. You don't want to get more fluff in there. Certainly not any of the ports on your phones.
This probably would work in here too if you needed to get.
Yeah, I like that. This is a good idea.
The fun tech. You can buy that at Target, Walmart, wherever.
Yeah.
I don't think Play-Doh is the same thing.
Don't use Play-Doh. No, please don't use Play-Doh.
So I feel like we've made a mess in this digital cleanse, but I feel like we all are going to go on to live our best lives after this, don't you think?
Well, this is the cleanest copy I've ever read. That is sterile, sterile copy. We're going to have a first look at the Acer Mixed Reality headset in just a little bit, and we'll answer a call for help. But first, a word from Rocket Mortgage. I don't need no copy to tell you about Rocket Mortgage. I love these guys. Created by Quicken Loans, one of the best lenders in the country. Well, absolute best if you look at their J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Awards year after year. Number one, the best in primary mortgage origination, in mortgage servicing. But here's where they go a step beyond, a step better. Rocket Mortgage has created a mortgage approval process that's entirely online. And they don't just want to make it fast and easy. They also want to make it transparent so you understand what's going on. It's simple to use, and it's quick. It's so quick you could do it at an open house. You could say, honey, have you ever done that, gone to an open house and say, hey, we should buy this? I've actually done that. We saw a house some years ago, and we said, we love this house. We ended up buying it. I wish Rocket Mortgage had been around there because it took us a lot longer to get the loan than I would have liked. Plus, we had, so much paperwork. You got to give them the pay stubs and the bank statements, and you got to find them. And sometimes you'd have to go to the bank and get them from the bank. And not with Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage has trusted relationships with all the financial institutions. So all you really do is you give them a few simple facts about yourself. They say, is this you? Well, okay, we're pulling up your bank statements. You give us permission to do that? You say yes. They crunch the numbers, and literally, not in a month or a week or even a day or an hour, in minutes, they will give you approval on a loan. They'll crunch the numbers and give you a choice of all the loans. See this? That are just right for your financial situation. You pick the loan you want. You pick the down payment you want, the term and the rate, and boom. You got it. And, man, it's nice to show the... You do this on your phone in an open house, you can show the realtor, I'm approved. You're approved. I've got the loan. Sell me this house. Rocket Mortgage. Bookmark it so you'll have it the next time you're interested in buying or refinancing. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. No more trips to the bank. No more trips to the attic for the paperwork. Just a simple process on your phone. Completely transparent. You'll understand every step. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently with Rocket Mortgage. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Here's the thing. Just go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. And we thank Rocket Mortgage for their support. Of the new screensavers, we have walked over here for one simple reason.
It's to get away from your AirPods.
To get away from those. Time for a call for help. From Anchorage, Alaska, this recorded call for help.
Recent update to my iPhone, the 11.0.2, left one of several of the apps that were on my phone unusable. And the one that concerns me the most is an app that was called Journals. I had a lot of information in there that was supposed to be up in the cloud that I can't access. Because Journals didn't keep up with the current update from Apple. I received a prompt from Apple saying that I needed to contact their app maker about updating. I have no idea who wrote this or developed this app. My question is, how do I get the information from the cloud if no app is available to download this information into? I hope that you can figure this out for me because there's a lot of passwords and blah, blah, blah that I don't have access to anymore, and my long-term memory and short-term memory are pretty much shot. Thank you for any help you can give me, and I hope this turned out usable.
Thanks, George. Loved you in the Treasure of Sierra Madre, too. That was, he was so, so good. You know, it really looks like he belongs in Anchorage, Alaska.
I feel for George.
Oh, it's terrible. If you stored stuff in a cloud service and they went out of business, that's terrible. Now, they didn't go out of business.
Well, we don't know if they went out of business. All we know is that
they're not updating the software.
Doesn't work with iOS 11. A lot of apps don't work with iOS.
And that's
11.
By the way, because Apple's now fully 64-bit. So any app that was 32-bit, and that was all the apps originally, and it's a lot of apps still. They just, you may remember last time on iOS 10, you'd get a notice: this app is might be slow.
Right, like warn the app developer.
This might be slow. But that was actually the 32-bit warning, and now they just won't run it at all.
Right. But so, you know, I was hoping that George had, like, written his memoirs on there. I got a little, like, when he said it was just passwords.
Well,
I was,
that's pretty important.
They are important, but I wanted to help George. And one suggestion that we had was to go back to iOS 10, to revert to iOS 10.
Which you can't really do.
You can't?
No.
Okay, well, then it's good that I found the solution.
You could find somebody with iOS 10 and have them log into your account.
Right.
And download the data or whatever. But, yeah, once you go to iOS 11, there's no going back. That's a one-way street.
Okay, well, I'm glad that I kept working for a solution for him.
Yes, because you did find one.
Well, he can't go and log on to someone else because he doesn't remember who made the app. And it was just Journal, and all we had was that picture. And, like, I looked up
Journal. So that was his picture?
That was his screenshot. Okay. So it was Journal with a little pen. I went to Google Images and searched for Journal app. I looked for that icon. There's a million Journal apps.
I know.
So
it's very generic.
Many. Name. Like, I went back and read articles from, like, 2012, the best Journal apps. And finally, I just thought, well, why not just post the picture, the screenshot on Twitter? And that's what I did. And then Craig...
You crowdsourced the solution.
Yeah. That's the way we should all solve our problems.
It's great. The Twitter is amazing.
The Twitter is amazing. So Craig Willis on Twitter immediately replied to me. He used a website called iOS Snoops. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
And then he found the app. So I think and then I found the app maker. So it's Mizuna is the app maker, and that is his Journals, and it's available in the App Store. If you click on the link, you will get, this is not available in the U.S. App Store,
opening
iTunes, and it'll just say it's not available. But you can contact Mizuna. There's a contact.
So, Mike, for instance, was it storing on a Mizuna's cloud or more likely on iCloud, right?
I don't know. We'd have to look into it more, I guess.
Well, at least that's a start, George. You can go to Mazzuna. Is it .com? And
there's a contact.
Oh dear, no. This is not good. 404 on Mizuna, who we are. Contact 404 on contact. I think Mizuna's gone. Mizuna was probably a high school kid. He finally got a job, and that's that.
Okay. So,
what do you do? Well, it's also a cautionary tale in several ways. If you have an app that's 32-bit and you go to iOS 11, that app will stop working.
But this doesn't help. Let's try to help George.
I can't help George. Don't say you should. Mizuna's gone.
No, we are going to continue to help George.
What are we
going to
do? You found a solution?
I'm keeping on working. He said, okay, Craig Wells said he used a Google reverse image search. That was
that's
secret
what you
weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just looked at it. I didn't use a reverse image search.
Yeah, that's really a handy tip.
Let's go to the iOS Snoops. Okay, so what I don't understand on iOS Snoops, you can get this app, it says, for $169.
No, don't. That's just, that's a scam.
Okay.
So, here's what you should do, George. I hate to say it.
It's worth it to help George. It's just $170.
That's a lot of money.
That's a fourth of the Mic Me.
Yeah, right. But you know what you can get for less than $179? Okay. An old iPhone or maybe even an iPod Touch, an old iPod Touch.
Okay.
If you can't find a friend that has one, go to eBay or maybe even if, you know, in Anchorage, I'm sure there are iPhone repair stores. What you need is an older device that you can, now we know it's Mizuna, you can install the software on the older device if you can still get it from somewhere. Is there anywhere?
That's the problem. It's not available in the U.S. App Store.
It's on his iTunes library on his computer.
Ah, very smart. So it's on his iTunes library on his computer. That's a very good point, Anthony Nielsen. Thank you. This is something, by the way, they've taken out of iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, so make sure you don't upgrade to High Sierra or iTunes 12. But for a while, iTunes stored those apps locally on your computer. And probably at some point you backed up your phone and iTunes has it. That would be one way. Borrow or buy an old iPhone with an older version of iOS and get that data off. You know, you got to install that app. You got to access the data. You know, worst case, you may be writing it down or doing screenshots. But get that data off. What I'd like to know is what cloud did Mizuno store it in? Because if it's stored in Mizuno's cloud and Mizuno's out of business, even if you got the app, you're not going to get your data back.
I'm going to knock on Mizuno's door. That's how much I want to help George.
Where are they? We don't know. 404. Don't know. Can't help you. I think they went out of business. That's not a good sign. So another tip, don't store your stuff in a cloud that you don't control.
Right. Okay. So now, I'm going to continue to find Mizuno, and now you can do the, you know, hindsight is 2020 stuff. Go ahead.
Well, no, we may not be able to help George, but George has helped everybody else because this is an important lesson. Before you upgrade to iOS 11, make sure everything that you want and need is going to work in iOS 11, and many things will not. They were 32-bit. It's also really risky to store something in, an app if you're dependent on that company sticking around. In this case, it isn't really even the iOS 11 problem. Mizuno's gone, it looks like. That's bad news. That means you can't get the app, you can't get the data. You may be really out of luck. So never, ever store your stuff in one spot, whether it's, you know, on your computer or in the cloud, without a backup somewhere else. And really never rely on a third party to store your stuff. You should always have, if you're going to do that, multiple third parties. You know, Google Drive and Microsoft's OneDrive and Apple's iCloud. That's a really important lesson. I don't think Apple's going to go out of business. I think iCloud's going to be around for a long time. Even then, don't just store stuff in iCloud. Store it in other places as well.
Well, passwords, I mean, it's really the only password I really worry about losing is my LastPass password. Because if you have passwords stored there, you can just say you forgot them, and hopefully you have the same email address. There's that, too.
Yeah. That's bad news. I'm sorry, George. Good job finding out who made it,
anyway. Well, don't thank me. Thank Twitter. Thank the Internet.
Thank you, Internet.
And we're not, you and me, Internet, we're not done helping George. He may be done.
Okay.
We're not.
I'm done. Okay. But you go ahead.
Okay.
Knock your head against that wall.
Okay, we will. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just received something very exciting. This is the Acer, and thank you to Father Robert, who has a good relationship with Acer. The Acer Windows Mixed Reality AH101 headset. Microsoft announced this a couple of events ago, that they were going to have third parties manufacture new lower-cost headsets that were very much like the Oculus Rift or the Vive that you could use with your PC. Of course, you see it's tethered to the PC. One thing that's different about these new Microsoft headsets, you know, when you set up the Vive or you set up the Oculus Rift, you have cameras. The Rift has two cameras you have to position. On the Vive, you've got two cameras up above that you have to position. And those are the devices that figure out where you are in space. And they're very important. What Microsoft has done with these mixed reality headsets, it's got sensors on the headset. Megan's putting it on.
Whoa.
Here she goes. And it doesn't need any cameras, any additional material. That, I think, is a really good feature. Would you like the controllers?
Yes. I think they need to be woken up.
Wake up your controllers. It uses these controllers as well. I wouldn't buy any VR system that doesn't have some sort of touch controls. You see, you've woken them up.
I've woken them up.
And those lights are going to be sensed by the headset for positioning. So I haven't played with this. First of all,
I love this. It's $400, $399. Which
same price as Oculus.
A little bit less than the Mic Me, which you're also getting.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to buy these?
I think by the end of the every show, we should see how much money you've spent.
So a couple of the things, the stats you're interested in this is the resolution of the screen. There are two 1440 by 1440 screens. That's pretty high resolution. The refresh rate, which is very high, it's 90 hertz, and the field of view, which isn't great, it's 95 degrees. So, but you know, that you're probably all right with that. You could look around and see. What are you doing?
Okay, so I just released this little guy, a chameleon. I think he's a chameleon because I'm trying to catch him, but I could have made him bigger. Let's see if we can make him bigger. There we go. So I made a big chameleon.
Let me ask you some subjective things. Is it comfortable?
It is very comfortable. It's way lighter than the Oculus, and it's soft. And
there's no top band, but it has this kind of interesting visory.
Well, that's because if I wanted to talk to you eye to eye.
Oh, okay. That is a very nice feature.
Right. I don't have to mess up my hair by taking it all the way off.
And you don't look at all weird with the flipped up
VR goggle. No, I'm just going to, if I take this to a cafe and, so, yes, this is flash
dance. That's kind of cool. Okay.
So, yeah, I can, I pressed the Windows button. That's the Windows button, so I could go to the
Windows
store.
She was a welder, that's right, I forgot about that.
I can make a Skype call. Basically, this is like Minority Report.
Wait, you can do Skype?
Yeah, I pressed the Windows button there, Skype.
Oh, oops. So if you call somebody and they're wearing it, does it feel like you're... No, or are you just now, you're just looking at a screen?
I don't know. That's a good... Oh, I lost
it. Be nice if you were in the same room with it.
Anyway, I think there's a Skype window over here, too. So I can jump. Whoa.
That's what I love about VR. Makes everybody feel like they're just incapacitated. They can't...
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa. Is that scary?
Yeah, it's scary.
So it feels like you're looking down over a precipice?
It does, yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know what this is.
Go ahead and jump.
I should press it. No, you can't jump.
Jump!
You can't, but
jump.
Thank you for
jump.
Your support.
Jump!
Thank you for your support. I'm trying, but I can't. See, it turns red.
Do you feel it all queasy?
No, actually,
I
don't.
Does the Oculus make you queasy?
The Oculus, a little bit, yeah. And the Vive, no. So I don't know. But I think this is more comfortable than any of those. Oh, there's that chameleon again. So basically, it just feels like I can control everything in the room. Let me go back over here.
And you're not, so...
Oh, look, I can play this video.
Can you move, oh, there's Father Robert.
Yeah, that's...
And you.
And me.
So can you walk around? No, you pretty much stand where you're standing, right?
Well, you can either sit or stand, and at the beginning, we created the safe space for me to walk around. So it stops right. Like,
so in the setup, you say where you can go, and it will tell you if you go past that,
right.
So you don't run into things.
And I could play solitaire if I want.
The reason I recommend touch controllers is because, you can see how valuable they are. It really makes it possible to
look
a lot of stuff, including move around.
Right.
You can get the weather.
Yep, and I don't know what that is, but... Looks like
I like it that there's no external sensors. I kind of like the design. Right now, the issue is there's very limited apps for it. You have to get them in the Windows Store.
What else? So I can.
And they are going to do Steam, I understand, but it's not out yet. What are you doing?
Oh. So a calculator. What else can I tell you?
At this point.
Yes.
We're going to get a full review from Father Robert, but I have to say, given that it costs roughly the same as an Oculus Rift with touch controllers, and Oculus has that massive Steam store and some really amazing games, I think I'd probably go with the Oculus. But this is brand new and, will be coming along. Technically, it's pretty impressive.
I think, like so many things, it sort of shows the possibilities, like not, the actualities of what I'd want to do in VR.
It's all potential.
Yeah, potential. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a big VR fan, as you know. VR is one of those things where you're really excited the first time you use it and say, this is transformation. Yeah, then you look like that.
Do you want to play Halo?
Oh, yeah, you can play Halo?
You can.
So that's actually, this is, I asked Paul Theroux about this because he also has this. This isn't the full Halo.
Oh.
Thank God. Halo made me nauseous just by itself.
Yeah.
Playing Halo in VR would be horrible. This is a little stand and shoot practice game with some Halo-like elements. It's not not even close to Halo itself. So,
okay.
Just so you know.
Probably it's enough Halo.
If they put Halo on this, I think it'd sell quite well.
Yeah. Mixed reality is what they're calling it. Not.
That's just Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's not. It's VR.
Okay.
It's not any different than anything else.
A new recruit. Ooh. How convenient. And punctual, too. Welcome to Combat Training 101, human.
Human.
So let me ask you, Leo, how cool do I look doing this?
Oh, you look so cool. You should just wear that all the time.
Okay.
You don't look at all dorky.
Okay.
Nope, not one bit.
Do you have any other questions?
No. We're going to find out more when Father Robert reviews it. Maybe by next week, I'm hoping so.
Oh, here's your Skype. I'm going to Skype some.
Did he get jury duty?
He didn't get jury duty,
oh,
no.
Oh, good. Good news. Okay.
Okay.
Poor Father Robert. First the Pope, then the state of California. He just can't win. Are you having fun?
Yes. Okay. I do it. Should I stop? Should I take it off?
No, keep doing that while I talk.
Okay.
Mizuna Software Labs is on LinkedIn. They are located in Phoenix, Arizona. They have experience with writing. This, thank you, by the way. The chat room found this in LinkedIn.
We're not done.
We're not done. They have experience with writing secure encrypted applications. I know. You're facing the wrong way. Don't worry about it. As well as writing application.
Did anyone tell me I was facing the wrong way?
Interact with a variety of back-end systems. So there is a postal address. I doubt they're there anymore. And by the way, this is the giveaway right there where it says company size, myself only.
Oh.
So it is, as I suspected, it's just one person. But write to him. Maybe... maybe you can get him to help you, George.
Okay. I'm done with this. Do you want to try it?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to demonstrate something, and then we're going to get the questions of the week in the mailbag. By the way, if you want to, I forgot to say this, but we're answering George's questions. If you want to ask a question, Jason Howell's going to be on next week. If you have an Android question or a question for me, where did I get this fine shirt? Here's how you ask.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
You know, I realize that in the digital cleanse, one thing we didn't talk about is how to clean your monocle.
Oh.
So,
yes.
Yeah, very important.
Yes.
Yeah, if you've got a little of the, you do that, and then you just do like this, and actually, you look pretty darn cool if you just stand around cleaning your monocle.
Yeah.
It's a little Colonel Clink kind of. Yeah. Hogan. Put it in there.
Yeah.
And it's just it's very. What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah. You know what? The number one thing you want to do, and Colonel Clink was a master of this, you want to learn the monocle pop. Say something surprising to me.
I am quitting.
Ah! The monocle pop. Very handy.
I'm not quitting.
Yeah. Don't quit. Are you ready to do a little gapping?
Yes.
Yes. Jerry held up a sign that said, gap. And I have to say, I really was racking my brain. What the hell's he talking about?
Yeah.
And then Google. Thank you for producer Jerry for reminding me it's time to show off GAP, the Google Application Protection Plan, or something like that.
General Accounting Practices.
Thank you. What is it?
Generally
accepted accounting practices is different. GAP, if you go to Google and look at it, this is something they announced a while ago, their advanced protection program, but it started this week for the first time. And the idea is to really lock down the accounts of people who need extra Google security. For instance, remember one of the things that happened in the 2016 election cycle was John Podesta's email was hacked because he had a kind of bad password, I think. Or maybe he got phished.
Yeah, he got phished first.
Yeah, on his Gmail. So this will prevent phishing. This will prevent people from guessing your password. It'll prevent anybody who doesn't have your physical dongles from logging into your Google accounts. These are the physical dongles you need. And you can see I have mine on my keychain here. You'll have to have one. Both of them have to be FIDO UTF, that's the specification, compatible. You'll have to one that is USB. This will be for your PCs, anything with a USB port. I'm using a YubiKey from Yubico, and I really like this. This is the YubiKey 4. And what this does is it when you plug it in, the computer thinks it's a keyboard, a USB keyboard. It gives some power, and you press this button, and the keyboard spits out a unique identifier that changes every few seconds. So that is really, without this, you know, you need your Google login, of course, and your password, but without this, you can't get in your Google account. But there's a problem because we have lots of devices like our iPhone that don't have USB ports, right? So for that reason, you have to get a second FIDO UTF device. Google recommends one that's no longer in stock. So I bought this. This is from, and I actually asked Steve Gibson if Vasco is okay. And he said yes. VASCO is a reputable. Vasco.com/secureclick. The YubiKey is about $40. This is about $30 on Amazon. And the way this works is kind of cool. This is a Bluetooth device that does the same thing. It generates and then sends over Bluetooth a long key code. So you can use that with the iPhone. Now, in order to, or the Android phone, or any device that doesn't support USB, Google will not sign you up for Gap unless you have both of those. In fact, if you go there and say, get started, it'll say, okay, buy these keys. That's, by the way, the only expense. Google does not charge you a monthly fee for this, which is, you know, nice. We thought at first they might. But there are some disadvantages. You'll have to, on your iPhone, put a Google app that I'd never heard of before called Smart Lock. And that Smart Lock pairs then with the USB key and allows you, see, it's accessing, it says, I've verified this account. And that's because I've got the USB key. And then this app gets queried by the other Google apps on your iPhone. Is this really Leo? And this app says, yeah, he verified it with the key. And it's they say, okay. But you can no longer use your Apple Mail. You have to get rid of it. You have to use Gmail or Inbox. You can only use Google Apps. You can't use the Apple Calendar if you tie it to Google Calendar. You can't use that anymore. If you use Google stuff and you want access to it on your iPhone or your iOS device, you can only use Google's apps to do that. So I no longer can use Apple Mail to get my Gmail. I have to use Inbox or Gmail. I can no longer use the calendar app to get my calendar. That's one of the disadvantages. You also have to use Chrome as your browser and your desktop from now on. That's convenient, isn't it?
So that's why it's free.
Yeah, I mean, there are some benefits to Google. You also, it doesn't work, at least so far, on Linux. So even though I'm using Chrome, I normally use Chromium, which is the open source version of Linux, but I tried Chrome and it still doesn't work. So now maybe Google will fix that down the road. Google says that they are going to make it work eventually with Firefox and other browsers. But for right now, you're kind of locking yourself into the Google universe. There's another potential problem. If you lose these physical keys, and this is what's different from normal Google two-factor, you can't say, oh, well, I'll use my authenticator today. No. You can't, actually, that's a tracker. This is the other key. You cannot, here it is. There they are. You cannot get into your Google account. You need to have, if you lose these, I did it again. Where is it? There we go. These keys. Do not try to log in with your tracker. It won't work. But notice, that's why I have the tracker on here. I really do not want to lose these keys. These are what I need for physical access.
Right.
Google does have a recovery, account recovery process, but it is also much more robust account recovery process that may take, they say, as long as a week. You have to go to extra steps to prove you are who you say you are. And this is all designed to really lock down your Google stuff so that no hacker can get it. And the reason that it doesn't work with iPhone Apple apps is it doesn't work with third-party apps of any kind, and that's to prevent phishing. So you will be protected against phishing because those apps, you know, you can't enter your Google password. It won't work. So this is, I think that they've done it right. I'm going to make sure Steve Gibson, we talk about it on Next Security Now because I'd like to know what Steve thinks. It's very impressive, but understand there's some major convenience trade-offs for the enhanced security. I am going to probably turn it off because the deal breaker for me, I don't mind not being able to use Apple's Mail or Apple's Calendar, but I really like to use Linux. That's kind of a deal breaker for me. We should mention Tracker's a sponsor. That's not the only reason I have this on here. I have it on here because I don't want to lose these very important fobs.
So I have a question. So you've lost, you've lost it, and you know you have the Tracker, which is a sponsor, and you can find them. But what if I like?
Thank you for that.
What if I'm like on the cast of Mr. Robot, and I see this, and I'm like,
so
I can get in.
That's
now.
Right, and this is how two-factor works. You know, there's three factors total: something you know, something you have, something you are, like your fingerprint or your eye. So the two factors are something you know, your password, and then something you have, these dongles. You absolutely want to protect them, but remember, in order to attack you, Mr. Robot would also have to have your Google password. So he has to have both factors to get in. And if you were to lose these, you can log in once. You only have to log in once on any given device. So once I've validated my iPhone or validated my PC, I don't have to do this again and again and again. You would go to a validated device and you would deactivate these. You would say, stop it, don't use these anymore. I have you get new keys, I'm going to replace them. So you can make these unusable if you lose them. Don't lose them, though, because, but this is the key. And the thing is, this is hard for somebody to get. If somebody wants to hack John Podesta, the Democratic National Committee, it's not enough for them to get his password. They can phish him all they want. Unless they have these physical keys or access to them, they can't get his mail. And for some people, I think that is well worth it. Maybe you want to have a hyper-secure Google account and then a less secure Google account. That's one way to handle this. I was thinking of doing that. I'm probably going to
do something like that, where I have a super secure Google account that I use for password recovery, emails, that kind of thing, and only use it for that, and then use my other account for everything else with all of the convenience that not using their application protection offers. So I just wanted to show you that because we've talked a lot about it, and I wanted to show you how it worked. Do you want to do some the email bag?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to involve walking.
Is it?
Yeah. Can you walk and talk?
I can.
Should we just do it here? All right. Let the mailbag come to us.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Time for the mailbag. Whoa! Look at that. Perfect, Jerry.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
All right.
And inside the mailbag.
Oh, there's a hat.
Look at that. It's a beautiful twit hat. Is that yours, Roberto? You don't want to give that up, do you?
That's
no.
New twit store.
Oh, yeah, this is a little different. This is like a trucker cap with mesh.
Oh, that is nice.
I like that. What is the address of the new Twit store?
Same
address, twit.tv/store. But we're using a new provider. And one of the things the new provider does is it gives us a broader variety, a broader range of stuff. And you don't have that weird, we're not making it anymore unless we get 100 orders that we were doing at Teespring. So this is, that's pretty nice.
It's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you call it a trucker cap because it's got the mesh? Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
Like you could run in that and
you
sweat.
You could run in that?
And you'd be fine.
I can't run. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the mailbag. I didn't even want to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take this one.
Actually, I look like I should belong to the Postal Service. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
I've never seen this before. Just kidding. I like to prepare a little bit. Claudia says, my mom is 90 with a small digital camera and that she needs to replace.
Aww.
Her friend suggested getting an iPad to take and view photos. My mom is not technical. She still uses a flip phone. What 7 to 8 inch tablet would you recommend? Is it really necessary to spend $300 on an iPad? She still likes to go to Costco to print her photos, so it would be nice if it had a memory card slot and a USB cable to have options. It doesn't have to have Wi-Fi since she doesn't have internet and won't be backing up or emailing photos.
So let me understand this. She wants a big thing. It would be nice to have a big screen, right, with a camera on it. But she doesn't care if it's connected to the internet. She doesn't care if it runs any other apps. She just wants to be able to connect it or pull out a memory card or connect it to a USB cable at Costco and get them to make prints.
Right. She wants
to really
take
pictures. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. She just wants to replace her camera.
It's a camera with a big viewfinder,
but
basically.
Like, yeah. So she wants a camera. She doesn't want to connect. She doesn't have internet at home. So what I suggest is a product that we talked about on the on iOS Today, Tech for Your Parents, called the GrandPad. And this is a subscription service, and this is the GrandPad. It's not cheap. It's $70 a month, $65 to $75 a month, but it includes this Asus tablet. And it's designed for, depending on the tech, how tech savvy you are, it's probably like 75 and up. So she can, and it doesn't connect to the internet. The subscription, which is $70 a month, also comes with, it's a Verizon account. So it's LTE, so you don't need to have an internet. So it has a camera in it. You can take pictures. I can take a beautiful picture of Leo.
Well, I like the big loud noise. But see, if you're 80, that's delete photo. Look at the big buttons.
Yes.
See, that's nice. Or
yeah,
90,
big,
because you want a big screen so you can see. That's nice. And look, it's
phone.
Very obvious what to do. Quit camera.
So the photo has not been saved. Would you like to share the photo with your family?
Oh,
yes.
That's neat.
So
she maybe doesn't have to go to Costco.
Yeah,
with this.
If she wants to just share it. So when you set it up, usually someone else sets it up for the senior, and you can put, their grandkids.
They don't have to mess with that stuff.
No.
You set it all up for
and
them.
And then you can comment. Oh, I could say, here's a picture of my friend Leo. Here's a picture of my friend
here's
Leo.
Hello, is this thing on? Hello, here's a picture of my friend Leo. How do you stop it?
Your comment will be sent shortly, so it gets sent to everyone who's in my family.
I have to say, I really like this. And this comes with its own, the reason it's $80, it comes with its own internet.
Yes, its own LTE.
Access. There's a picture of the inside of the case.
Yeah,
so it's,
you can take a selfie,
I'll send
too.
This to Grandma. Yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
It has
look at the big button. See, you can't go wrong on
no,
that.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
It has a lot of other features. No, you don't want that one. And see how easy it was to, you don't have to, there's no back button. You can make phone calls, yeah. You can make video phone calls.
See, I was at first going to kind of poo-poo this as being more than grandma really wants. Look, big band music.
Uh-oh. Please wait, thanks for your patience.
Oh, grandma's going to love this.
Okay, so I understand that Claudia was looking for a memory slot. This does not have this.
But maybe you can wean grandma off of Costco.
Maybe.
Because really all she wants is to send those pictures to other
family members. Maybe she wants to mail them. Maybe she wants to print them and hang them on her wall. The other thing that Grandpad offers is white glove support. So they will talk to you every day. They will talk to you once a week, once a month, whatever you want. And I've spoken to them several times, and they're all so sweet and nice. And what they suggested was send it to your family, and then if she really wants prints, the family can take them and make prints for them. So
yeah, I don't know of anything that directly does what you want. Any tablet is designed to go online. No tablets that I know of have, well, maybe the Samsung has a memory card. I think the Samsung has a memory card slot. But it's way more complicated, and there's no way you can hide all that complexity. They have a simple interface, but even the simple interface is more complicated than this interface. What's this called again?
It's called the GrandPad, and it's a little bit cheaper if you do it, if you pay for the whole year. But they've said if situations changes with your parent or grandparent, they'll refund.
I like how big the
buttons are. Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, there's.
And then she would get email. And again, she doesn't need Wi-Fi because it's built in. It's LTE built in.
Yeah.
Look at that. You know, I found out what the deal is with these hats, these with the mesh back. That's so you can wash your hair without taking the hat off.
Good.
That's very handy. Yeah. Somebody in the chat room said that.
Yes.
All right, cool.
All right,
that's the closest we can come.
But your mom would, Mary.
She would be insulted if I
would suggest an iPad and then just connect it to an adapter and then.
This is going to cost more than an iPad in the long run, though, $79 a month. So.
But if you break it, then they just send you another one.
It's good. That's kind of cool.
And if you get the iPad, then you're the one on the support calls.
Oh, that's
not
that.
Nice,
I wouldn't get an iPad. I don't think there's anything that does specific. This is an interesting business for somebody. They did make an Android. Remember briefly, they made an Android phone that was, a camera that had Android on it and a big screen. But I think that's a market. Is make a camera, just a camera, a plain old camera with a memory card and a big 7-inch viewfinder. I think that's an interesting, I like that idea, but to my knowledge, nobody's making it. Here's question two. It's from Frederick. Megan and Leo, I've seen all sorts of articles saying that Apple has patches ready for iOS, macOS, watchOS, tvOS to fix that Wi-Fi vulnerability we were talking about earlier, crack. But I haven't seen anything about their airport routers. Well, that's interesting. I know they've abandoned those products. It would seem irresponsible of them not to at least issue a patch. Do you know if there's an update available or coming soon for the airport routers? Thanks, Frederick. So two things. First of all, as we mentioned, I think Maddie explained to you, this isn't something you patch the router for. This is something you patch the things that attach to a router. And since the airport routers don't do mesh, there is no need. In fact, there isn't a crack fix for that. So Apple does not need to update it. Apple never announced that they were killing the airport routers. But you make a good point. They haven't been updated lately.
I think since December 2015 or something.
This is an example of Apple not really communicating very clearly what their intent is. I would say you're not going to get any more updates. And given how old your airport router is, our recommendation in the last year or so has been get a new router every few years. Not only do technologies change, but routers actually wear out. They're little computers. They get very hot. There's, if you think about it, a lot of data going through them all the time. And they actually wear out more than you would think. So getting a new router every couple of years is a great idea. That airport, I retired my airport Extreme. They were very expensive, I know. But I just don't think they're keeping it up to date. And that could mean security flaws. Not for crack, though. Crack does not affect it. Wow. We're done? How could that possibly be?
I know. How could it possibly be?
Was that sarcastic?
No. Okay. No. Let's keep going.
Let's not. If you want to get more of this twit stuff that you like so much, we are going to make some holiday specials. Not all of our shows. For instance, for iOS Today, we're going to do what we did last year. We're going to unwrap all our new stuff and show you how to set it up. That's going to be a lot of fun. But for the new screensavers, twit, Windows Weekly, Security Now. We're doing best of shows, which means we need your help. So if there's an event or an episode or a segment you remember from this past year, 2017, that you think belongs in a best of, all you have to do is go to our website, twit.tv/best of. They're going to ask you for a lot of extra information. Give us what you know. But if you just describe it, that's great. If you could tell us the episode number, even better. If you could tell us where in the episode, best of all. But again, you don't have to. Give us just whatever information you know. That would be very, very helpful. We also have a newsletter. If you'd like to sign up, twit.tv/newsletter. As long as you're on the website, you'll get inside news announcements. You'll find out what's coming up on future shows. Jerry does a great job with that every week. twit.tv/newsletter. Now, if you want to be here and watch this show, there's two ways you can do it. If you want to be in studio, we have a great studio audience today, including Chef Roberto, who came all the way from New York. And we're glad to have you. Of course, David and Janet, and there's Marie in the back. We thank you all for being here. Email tickets at twit.tv. We do want you to let us know because the studio isn't open all the time as it used to be. And so it's really important that we make sure to put a chair out for you and have a place for you. So email before you come, tickets at twit.tv. But you can also watch live, and you don't have to give us any heads up on that. Just go to twit.tv/live. We do this show every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC, twit.tv/live. And if you do that, please join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. There are great people in there. You don't need special chat software, just your browser, irc.twit.tv. If you can't be here in live in person or on the stream, please download a copy. On-demand audio and video is always available at twit.tv/NSS or subscribe in your favorite podcatch application and you'll make sure you get every episode. I'm really liking this hat.
I like it too.
I think I might just go be a trucker.
Okay, I'll take over. I'm ready.
I got the arm tan. It's all yours, Megan.
Excellent.
Can I get a knob on the wheel? Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody.